This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 253, recorded Monday, June 1st, 2015, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast. Are you excited, Jerry?
Woohoo!
There was a Google I.O. this week.
There was a Google I.O.
So stuff came out of it, so we have stuff to talk about.
Yay!
Yeah. But before we get to that, we have letters.
Letter? What?
Yes.
Let me get this straight. On what is possibly the first episode in a long time where we've had, like, news and stuff.
We've had also news. Have feedback. Just lots of news. Normally we have some news. Yes, in response to our conversation last week.
Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Okay, because I want to pump you up here. Okay, this is from Tom.
It's also a letter that's not from the Door-to-Door Geek?
Yes, neither of these two letters are from the Door-to-Door Geek.
Wow.
We haven't heard from him in a while. Is he still listening? Did we scare him away?
I don't know. We might have bored him away.
Well, I know he does a lot of podcasts. Maybe he doesn't have time for us anymore.
Could be.
You know how it is. You know, famous people, they grow even more famous and they become too good for, you know, little old podcasts. He might have outgrown us. Here we are. Tom. First, just to let you know that you have at least one listener each week. Me. You aren't just talking to yourselves. You sounded a bit worried. I usually listen to you during my commute, and by the time I get to a computer, the idea of feedback has utterly slipped my mind. I think I do wipe cache on my brain every hour. Either that, or my brain suffers from the Android 5.0 memory leak. Second, if the IDF and Colombian drug lords are working together, I would think Guru's problems are only just beginning. Third, I enjoy the show. Keep up the good work. Airline updates optional. I still say I would have stopped if you'd said something. Anyway.
But that was nice.
Yes, well, we have one more. This is from John in Oregon. Ooh, that rhymes. I wrote in a long time ago. A while ago, and you have prompted me to write again. I have listened since episode 8. Jerry was instrumental in my getting an Evo original. And Guru, you were why I got an original Pebble. I like the current format, just like two friends just catching up. I like the slight element of flying bathtubs. The structure you had a bit ago, where you did not have squirrel moments, just did not feel as comfortable. I kind of feel like in there with you in the current format. Thank you for doing the show. I look forward to it every week. John in Oregon.
Okay, so can you clarify, he is for squirrel or against squirrel?
Well, if I'm reading this correctly, it did not feel as comfortable where there was no squirrel.
Ah.
So it is an approval of the slight element of squirrel. So, you know, a susan of squirrel, a little, you know, the squirrel intermixed amidst the rest of the episode, just like two friends just catching up at the end of a week.
Okay, so a little bit of squirrel's okay.
Yes. Well, everything in moderation.
Sure.
Okay. So, I thought that might cheer you up. We got some letters. We could be like those big important...
I like that.
Well, we could be like those big podcasts, and we could have letters jingles, and we could have all sorts of other things.
If you're going to write them and perform them, I have no skills in that area.
I don't know. I used to watch the Twit Network, but I hear they no longer endorse live watching.
Wait, what?
There was something effective today. They'll no longer be doing live.
Really? That's weird.
Or having a chat room. Just in case there's anybody out there who feels as if they miss the camaraderie of the Twit chat room, we have a chat room. No one's ever in there, and we'd love to have more than no one. You're always welcome. You can make whatever snarky comment you want, as long as, like anywhere else, you're doing so in a appropriate manner. Right?
What? No, they can do it inappropriately. It's cool.
No, we won't say anything. If they say something inappropriate, we will not say anything. We will pretend as if it was not said. I'm referring to really inappropriate stuff. I'm not talking about the occasional off-color comment.
Okay.
I'm saying, for example, let's say somebody insulted your ancestry type things. Things just for the purpose of annoying you. Not things that were perhaps in bad taste.
Okay. That would be... I mean, I'm not going to kick you out of the chat room for that, but, you know.
But you know what I mean.
I'm also not going to put them on my Christmas card list.
I'm more saying that if you want to come and be part of a conversation, you're welcome. If you want to come and just, for the sole purpose of annoying people, stay at home.
Yes, that's our job.
Yeah. So Google I.O. was last week. Did you watch the keynote?
I did.
Okay, were you excited?
Not really.
Oh, you didn't like that spectacular opening sequence? You know, where there was a bunch of stars and a galaxy, and then they zoomed into Earth, and then there were a whole bunch of machinery, and then you were in a Google-ish world.
I don't remember that.
Oh, maybe you fast-forwarded.
Maybe.
Okay. There was this big countdown where they showed all this weird stuff.
Okay.
But that didn't really say anything about Google. That's more, let's have some fun before we... So that was that. Then Sundar Pichai showed up and said some things. Then some other people showed up and said some things. Then they ended. Right?
And that concludes this week's podcast.
Well, I thought we might talk about some of those things.
Oh, okay.
Sure. Well, I made a list, so we can stop on any of them and have a discussion. But I've made a list of some of the things that were announced. Polymer 1.0, which is a web app toolkit. So if you want all of your web apps and all of your websites to look like Google, you can try Polymer.
Well, kind of. Not really.
No, I thought that was an overly simplistic way of explaining it. But
yeah, it's... I don't know. To me, it's like... Okay, so Google makes this JavaScript library called Angular.
They make a lot of
things. To me, right. But, okay, so there, when it comes to JavaScript frameworks, there are a few of them, but only a couple really major ones, okay? You've got your jQuery, right? That's your basic, all-around toolkit for messing with the DOM.
Yeah.
Then you have things like Ember and Backbone for...
I know the names, but learning JavaScript is on my list.
Sure. Well, they do things like they keep track of data on the back end as their main job. And then you've got Angular, which is written and maintained by Google, which kind of does all of that. And it's, in my personal opinion, it's my favorite JavaScript framework. Polymer seems very much like Angular, but less mature. So I'm kind of confused as to what they're both for.
Well, I'm reading the ad copy here. Polymer 1.0 has been rebuilt from the ground up for speed and efficiency. The new leaner core library makes it easier than ever to make fast, beautiful, interoperable web components. If you haven't used Polymer before, it's time to try it out. If you haven't tried it recently, it's time to take another look.
Okay.
What is Polymer? Polymer is designed to make it easier and faster for developers to create great reusable components for the modern web. HTML provides a set of built-in elements. Each element has its own API of attributes, properties, methods, and events. I can keep going.
So to me, Polymer could be like an Angular a library of Angular directives, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
And
I'm not quite sure how they're distinct from each other, but that's okay.
Not all browsers support these standards. So the Web Components Polyfill library fills the gaps implementing the APIs in JavaScript.
Sure, well, that's kind of standard.
Yeah. So basically, they like it, but we're not 100% sure why you shouldn't use something else. I just like seeing things. Anyway.
Sure.
Moving along.
Yeah. Polymer's a good thing. I'm not sure if it'll stick around, though.
Well, I'll be more excited if I ever get around to learning JavaScript. It's on my list.
Okay.
Every time I don't want to hit a button and wait for a page to reload. I mean, that's Ajax, isn't it?
Well, you know what the J stands for.
Yeah. But in order to get to that, I have to go all the way through JavaScript. Oh, well, I might have some time on my vacation. I just can't see myself sitting on my vacation reading about JavaScript. Actually, I could. That's probably the frightening part. Google announced... I read
about languages all the time while I'm on vacation. That's how I relax.
Well, I'm talking about while I'm out and about. At night, it's like anywhere else. I don't go out at night. Well, I do, but I don't go... I'm not one of those people who goes out till 3 in the morning partying. I had a fun day of... stuff, and I'm going to relax now and go to bed because I have to be up at 6 a.m. to continue my fun day of stuffing.
That's weird. I don't get up at 6 a.m. for work days, much less vacation days.
I normally don't on vacation. I normally, you know, take it easy. But, you know, this is one of those things where I've invested a lot in this vacation monetarily, so I want to maximize it.
You have every minute planned?
No. Just the minutes where there's sun outside. Friday, Tour of Tel Aviv. Sunday, Caesarea, Haifa, Rosh Hanikra. Monday, Tel Hai. Oh, that's good. Tuesday, that's good. Tuesday, I'll be in Jerusalem. Monday night, I'm at a kibbutz. Then Wednesday, Jerusalem, Old City. Thursday, Jerusalem, New City. Friday, Masada and the Dead Sea. I have to stop talking about my vacation. Sorry. Anyway, Google has announced the Cloud Test Lab, a free automated service to test Android apps against the 20 most popular Android devices, or a simulation thereof, with possibly more coming later as a paid service.
Which is excellent.
Well, the thing is, that's how you get better apps. You create a testing service where people can see what their apps would look like.
And behave like.
Yes.
Because that's important, too.
Here's a big one. Google has separated Photos from Google+. There are new apps on web.
Did we talk about this last week?
No, the last week was the rumor that they were going to be doing this.
Right. Okay. So, yeah.
So now there was a big presentation, if you watch the keynote, where they sort of showed a lot of interesting features.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of, auto creation of albums, all this other nice stuff.
Yep.
It makes it very tempting to put your photos into Google.
I think that's the point.
Isn't that the point with any product? I don't understand why some products think that they can just not create any features, do what everybody else is doing, and expect people to be impressed by them.
Because why not?
Then I could start that business.
Well, that's how a lot of businesses get started. It's okay.
Well, I think that should be the name for my new services company. Just Below Average Services. We're adequate. But not too adequate.
That's funny.
Moving along, Gmail's API now supports push notifications.
Yay.
If you want to do something with the Gmail API.
Push is, by and large, normally better than pull.
Yeah. I'm agreeing. But you know what I haven't seen since the Gmail API came out? I haven't seen anybody implementing a complete desktop email client for Gmail. I'd be interested to see somebody do that. I'm not saying I'd necessarily use it, but I'd be interested to see that. No comment?
Nope.
Okay, Google Maps will support offline navigation. So if you are now stuck in the wilderness between Jacksonville and, let's say, Texas, you do not have to worry if you end up in a cell phone dead zone.
Now, do you have to get something?
What?
Do you have to get your... Do you have to ask for directions beforehand so that you can...
Well, it's not really clear on that, but if you notice, I think you actually have to download the route in advance, but you may be able to download more than the route. So I know you'd be able to download the route you're supposed to be on, but it mm-hmm. doesn't say if you can download more than just the route. So let's say you could download, like a range around it in the event that you had a problem. I think this is just download the route and then it will navigate to the route without data. More details are forthcoming. Okay. Either way, this is useful. Because the idea being that you're not necessarily going to go without data for the entire time. The idea being that you have the entire route and you won't be constantly using the data. Which is different than you occasionally using the data.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about Android M. What does M stand for again?
Marshmallow.
You sure? How about macadamia nut cookie?
No.
Mars?
Nope.
Why not? They showed a picture of Mars. They showed a picture of Jupiter.
But that would be like a Mars bar, right?
Well, they showed a lot of stuff. They had an entire galaxy showing at one point. Maybe it'd be milk.
Marsupial.
How about milk? Is milk a dessert?
Could be.
Okay.
Milk chocolate?
Maybe. We'll find out, I guess. So
Mars bar. Maybe it could be Mars bar.
I don't know. How about marshmallow fluff?
Why fluff?
I think the word fluff is fun.
Okay.
Isn't it fun to say? Fluff.
I don't think so.
Fluff. Fluff.
I'm anti-fluff.
Okay. Here's some Android M features that they announced as part of the Android M developer preview. M is for insert name here. Google will now. Anyway, Google will now automatically back up app data. I was promised this before, and it doesn't seem to have happened. So do you think this time it will happen?
I think this time it will happen.
Okay, because you remember that this was promised in earlier versions, but it doesn't seem to have been implemented with any degree of certainty. And sometimes I don't want the data back. I want the data wiped. I want it fresh.
But you can do that yourself.
But what I'm saying is that let's say, and I have this with Chrome where it syncs stuff between my different computers.
Mm-hmm.
I delete an extension on one computer and then I log into another computer and it's magically reappeared.
Yep.
It drives me crazy. So if they're going to be backing up and syncing my app data, then I'd better have a good control panel.
You don't think the clear data will work?
Well, sometimes you don't want to clear it. Sometimes you want to override it with your current configuration.
I'm mainly hoping that it will work for Google Authenticator.
Maybe. Why don't you try the one I use, Authenticator Plus?
Because it's not what I use.
We've established that.
Yep.
Because if you used it, you wouldn't be asking.
Yep.
So under Android, you can rearrange quick setting tiles.
That's nice. This is a slight addition to the self-adding and removal of tiles, right? Right?
Well, right now, some of the tiles magically appear and disappear without your control. So this is, yep, you can lay things out the way you want. So one of the things that they said during the keynote was that a lot of things that are being focused on for... I'm sorry, I don't have a name yet, so I'll just be saying that every time we're about to say it. Is that they're trying to refine the experience. So they've gotten to the point, I think, where they're really not going to necessarily wow with any one feature. But they can continue to iterate.
And I think that is why I'm kind of underwhelmed by this Google I.O. There wasn't anything that really, you know, wow.
But maybe we're beyond wow. But it's all good.
Yes.
Okay.
There was one wow, but it's also only a refinement.
Okay. Is it on the list or do we add an extra wow for you?
I believe it's on the list.
Okay. Well, we'll save it. I want to hear which one wowed you. The suspense is so thick you can cut it with a knife.
Or not.
Okay.
But yes, it's on the list.
Swipe left is no longer a dialer on the lock screen. It is now voice search.
Hmm.
I'm guessing this is indicative of the fact that people don't use their phones for phoning anymore.
I replaced my dialer, so I don't know.
But you understand what I'm saying.
I do.
More people are using voice search than they are dialing, and basically, since you can dial from voice search, I could sort of see their point. There's mm-hmm. no point for a direct link to the dialer. But I don't really need to go to swipe because all I can need to say is, okay, Google.
Okay, Google.
You realize how many people's phones we just annoyed right now, right?
Probably not. How many people? I don't know. That would be interesting.
If your phone was activated by that, feel free to send us an angry letter.
I would like to know. Is Google smart enough to to cancel out the microphone from its own speaker? You know what I mean?
At the moment, I don't think so. Wouldn't be a bad idea, though.
You've got a microphone that's always engaged, but the microphone is also recording, or the speakers are also making noise. Well, would it cancel out the noise that it makes from the microphone input so that it doesn't listen to the noise that it's making?
As far as I know, it doesn't. Could it? Maybe. As far as I know, it does not.
I think it's like, okay, if you have your phone on speaker, right?
Yes.
They don't hear themselves speaking.
But what if you are listening to your podcast on your car radio or on a Bluetooth speaker? And somebody on that speaker says, okay, Google.
I don't think it would matter because it's all audio output.
Yeah, but what if it isn't coming from your phone?
Right, but it's still audio out, whether it goes out Bluetooth or whether it goes out speakers, whether it goes out a headphone.
No, what I'm saying is, what if you were playing it using another device?
I know it's...
What if I'm watching a podcast on my television?
And it's not coming from your phone?
At all.
Okay.
So we don't know. Okay.
That'd be interesting. If when I say, okay, Google, your phone goes, I'd like to know.
Oddly enough, that happens to me at work all the time, and I never say, okay, Google, at work. Why would I?
I don't know. Maybe somebody calls in, and their name is Google. So you say, okay, Google.
I cannot think of a time when anybody named Google has called up.
That's not my fault.
I work in a place that doesn't have people calling up named Google. Okay, I'll keep that in mind. Yes. SD cards can again be used like internal storage. So after spending all this time saying no SD card slots, the operating system now supports SD cards. Although I think this is more of a compromise to low-end phones.
I think this is a bad idea.
Why?
Because don't store stuff on SD cards.
I like to store music on there. I don't want to store apps on there. But if you notice, the example in the picture is you can use this portable storage for moving photos and other media between devices, or you can use it as internal storage. But once you use it on internal storage, there's a notation there that it won't work with anything else. So basically, I'm thinking that it does something in terms of the partitioning.
Could be. That would be weird. SIM cards are not designed for... Yeah, don't do that.
I just want it for media. So I want to expand my ability to store music on my phone because I, unlike you, do not use some form of streaming music service.
Right, but...
And if I did, I'd be in trouble.
I mean, the SIM card's got to be like the slowest form of storage.
SD card, not SIM card. You keep saying SIM.
I do.
Yeah, but it's an SD card.
Because that's what I'm understanding, is SIM card.
No, SD card.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different.
No, like a micro SD card, like a old school.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, SIM card now. Why would you store anything on
SIM card? No, where do you think I was flipping out?
Okay, well, you misread it. I'm sorry. SD card. Like this one I have here on the desk. It's a SanDisk 64 gigabyte card with a micro USB OTG connector. So I have a little card reader that can be plugged into the bottom of my phone. And I can back...
But this also assumes hardware support.
Yeah. But this is an external one that I use because my phone doesn't have hardware support for an SD card. And I want to load this card up with as much entertainment as possible. Because you know what's really odd when you leave the country? Your streaming services stop working.
Mm.
Something about contracts. So I may not be able to watch Netflix. I'm not sure if I would have watched Netflix on vacation, but I don't think I can. So I'm going to bring along some entertainment on this little itty-bitty card.
Cool.
Wonder what I can put in 64 gigabytes.
A lot-ish. Like 60 hours of TV.
Well, it's hard to pick what to... Yeah. But I can have my entire music collection transferable to my phone. Since I'm not going to keep this thing plugged into the bottom of my phone all the time, I can transfer directly into the phone. Rotate my music. Put some video on there. Anyway. You remember when I bought this? I think I talked about it on the show. It's the mini USB OTG adapter for micro SD.
I believe so.
Yep. Worth having. At least until you get that internal SD card slot again.
Well, even then.
Not a bad idea.
Yeah, because normally internal SD card slots are hard to get to. So.
Well, you usually have to pop the back or the battery.
Right. And if you can't get the battery out, then getting the SD card that's under the battery is impossible.
Yeah, but I think the ones that don't have removable batteries have different places to put the SD cards. I remember the first phone I had with a micro SD card, and it actually had it on the side. Under one of those little tabs you pulled up. Ah, the good old days.
So you're saying putting the SD card underneath a non-removable battery would be a design flaw?
If you're putting an SD card under a non-removable battery, that's built-in storage. If the goal is to not allow people to open the thing up. If your battery isn't removable, the only people who remove it are techies. And you might as well solder your memory onto the board in that case.
Okay.
You can now choose a dark theme for the system interface in Android. Yes. You like dark themes?
On my portable devices, yes.
Okay. How about this one?
And on my non-portable devices, I like Efflux.
I use something similar. It's not Efflux, but it's like Efflux. It's telling me that it's night right now. So the next feature...
You know what? Yeah. It is night.
Okay. Doze mode can extend low power operating time by as much as 100%.
This is interesting. I like this.
So basically, in their testing, they were able to essentially get all the functions down so low that they could extend the battery life when the device was not being actively used.
According to the motion sensor.
Yeah, well, isn't that the question is, if you have your phone... They were using a Nexus 9, which you can lay on a table. But if I have my phone in my pocket, I'm motioning.
Yep. Or if you're in a car using the GPS, you're motioning.
Well, they may have figured out, you know, orientation, how often it's moving in certain directions to make a pretty good guess.
But if it's sitting on your desk, screen off, then going into into doze mode seems like a pretty decent idea. I mean, it's not like you're using it to crunch numbers or anything.
Yeah, but if I'm sitting at my desk, then my phone is sitting on my Qi charging pad. Therefore, not needing to be power saving.
Why not?
Because I'm saying that that's when power isn't a concern because I have power. Power is a concern when I'm being active.
It's at full power, but the less power it uses, the quicker it charges when it's on a pad.
I'm agreeing with you on that. But I'm saying that the goal of extending battery life is for when you are not near power. Nobody says, my power is so much more efficient, but I'm right near an outlet. Most people care about how long their things will last when they are nowhere near power.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that those mode could also determine, hey, I'm just in your pocket and we're walking along and singing a song and you don't need me.
Yes, I think that's the more important use case.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Yes, I'm off doing my thing, and I want to know that when I pick my phone up again, it hasn't lost 20% when I didn't even touch it.
Sure. I think that's how Apple gets away with such long battery lives. They go to sleep a lot. Deep sleep.
Yeah, the thing is that this is not deep sleep. Android wants to be constantly connected, so a lot of the things they're working on, they call it doze, because technically it's as asleep as it can be without being asleep. So it's not killing applications. The applications are going into a mode where they're still being updated, but very infrequently. This is where you say something like, I like that.
I like that.
Okay.
I do. This is not a wow feature, but this is certainly a significant improvement.
That's why I'm saying
no feature is significant.
No feature is going to make us think of that time when they had the two Java engines and they were running them side by side and one was going 10 times faster than the other one. I think that's when Dalvik came out.
Right.
But
no, not Dalvik.
Was it Dalvik?
The other one. Dalvik's the normal interpreted Java runtime.
But no, it was before ART. It was when Dalvik came out.
I don't remember that.
No, this was several generations earlier, where they had this demonstration where they had this graphic that was being generated from the old one and then from the new one. I'm positive.
Are you sure that wasn't Dalvik versus ART?
No, they never did that type of benchmarking demonstration. It was it was
a little thing that runs around the screen.
Are you sure that was ART? I'm almost positive it was Dalvik.
I think it was Dalvik versus ART. And Dalvik was the one that was going slow, and ART was the one that was going, wing!
This is going to bother me.
I'm sorry. I mean, but you know what? You're probably right.
No.
My memory.
It was the just-in-time compiler in Froyo.
Okay, I don't remember that, but okay.
They added a just-in-time compiler to Froyo. That's how long ago it was. Which allowed things to operate 4 to 10 times faster. That was the demonstration I was thinking of. The just-in-time compiler that was added to Dalvik. Okay. I feel better now. Android will support app-dick linking without a selector prompt.
This is so sweet.
And you've noticed, I think they've designed it really well. In order for this to be supported, the website that you are attempting to deep link to has to advise what the app is, if I'm reading it correctly. It has to have some sort of code on there, if I read the description correctly.
Well, the app that's displaying the link has to modify the action on the link to specify the app that's going to be used to display it.
Yeah, but that means that two things. One, Twitter can say, this is the official Twitter app, and thus approve me without going through any selector prompts. However, what if you have a third-party Twitter app? So it has opened the door for apps and websites to be better integrated.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also opened the door for third-party developers to be pushed out. Which makes it interesting that their example's Twitter.
And, of course, this doesn't bring the ability to be abused, right?
Everything can be abused. It shouldn't bring the ability to be abused because it's based on host name.
I like it.
It minimizes. I can't think of a way they could abuse it so easily, but everything has the potential.
Sure.
But right here, the server of the code in the manifest interacts with the server, which must tell the operating system that the app truly does own these links. But the downside is third party clients can't verify themselves with Twitter server, is the example since they use Twitter. Pro and con. But for the most part, yep. Official apps are what people are using, even though some of the unofficial ones are better. Objectively speaking.
Yes.
Anyway, Smart Lock now acts as a password manager for both Chrome and Android. What do you think about this one?
I'd like to see it integrated with LastPass personally, because LastPass has all my passwords and Google does not.
Well, the thing is that it is meant to compete with LastPass, therefore it would not necessarily integrate. The idea being that you log into one thing and it has all your other passwords, that is LastPass. So why would Google integrate with a product that does the same thing that it's attempting to do?
Yeah, I know.
But wouldn't it be the other way around, that LastPass would want to act as a third-party replacement for this smart lock system? And a lot of people have been annoyed with LastPass on Android lately. There have been problems with its app integration.
Well, only because it asked when an app asked me for a password that LastPass would have. I have to log into LastPass, and then it takes me to the LastPass vault. It doesn't log me in and then take me back to the app where I was.
What I'm saying is that at the moment, it is not the ideal experience.
Correct.
And it may be that an integrated Google solution is what will get market share, because it is an integrated Google solution.
Doesn't mean I have to like it.
There are many things in this world that may be popular that we don't like. I thought of a good example of that, but I won't say. Anyway, priority interruption mode is back to being called Do Not Disturb.
Cool.
And it now has the option to create more complex rules. So you can essentially put more logic to what will and will not disturb you. Okay. Native Bluetooth stylus support.
This is a thing?
I've never even seen a Bluetooth stylus. But Well, I'm not really an artist or somebody who needs to sign things, you know, for legal reasons. But apparently built-in stylus support. But from what I understand, Bluetooth stylus support means pressure sensitive.
It could mean pressure sensitive.
No, I'm saying that those are the types of features.
I would just like a more accurate pointer.
Yeah, but the idea is that a Bluetooth one that can send data between the stylus and the device would be able to provide more data. Therefore, it would be able to be more accurate in theory.
Yep.
An improved share menu.
If improved share menu means I can knock some things off the share menu, then that's definitely improved.
I didn't see that feature.
See, then I think this whole improved is slightly, yeah, no.
Yeah, I was not impressed by the improved share menu. I agree with you. I'd like to be able to say in a menu somewhere, I don't use that thing, don't show it to me.
Right.
I understand that apps will register their program to share, but I'd like to say, I never use that thing, don't show it to me. I'd also like it to put the ones that I use most commonly at the top.
Yes.
Which would be also helpful. Let's see.
It would be less helpful if you could remove all the other trash, though.
No, I'm saying some combination thereof. Those are two options to make things more useful.
Yep.
Well, not even if you're not only removing it, what if there was a show more button? It showed you the most popular one, you pressed a button for more. So the ones you use all the time would appear, and then there'd be a like an overflow button.
Yeah.
No, you know what I'm... You can picture that. Okay. Google announces improved and revamped app permissions for Android.
This is the one that makes me all warm and tingly inside.
And this includes that it will not ask for permission to access the microphone until the first time it accesses the microphone.
Which is super duper nice.
Well, that's what computers have started doing. They don't ask to access something until the first time they need it. At that point, you're very aware of what it is they're asking for and why. As opposed to the current model where they're asking for everything they could possibly need in a theoretical universe right at the beginning.
Right. And then you don't know if they ever use it.
Or how they're using it.
Yeah. Well.
Well, even with this, there's possibilities that you wouldn't realize what they're doing with it.
But they would have to use it for something that would not surprise you the first time. After that, they can use it for nefarious means. But the first time, they've got to use it for something, you know, semi-legitimate that doesn't surprise you. And it also allows you to use an application without allowing all of the permissions, right? So if an app says if the app permissions say it gets access to the microphone, and you run it, then it doesn't actually have permission to use the microphone until you allow it. So you could tell it no and still have it installed instead of what we have now, which is an all or nothing thing. Which is what I super duper like.
I'm looking forward to seeing this one, but remember, older apps are still going to fall back on the older version unless they get updated. And that's a concern for me because I do have some apps that aren't updated very often.
What? This requires a developer?
Yeah.
I guess it would have to.
No, because basically, if you don't implement this, then it's going to fall back under the older procedure. Now, what may happen eventually is that apps that are not under the new permission procedure, maybe in two or three more versions, they might start combing the Play Store for them. And it might de-rank them or something, but for now. Google has announced native...
I didn't realize that it required...
Reprogramming? User,
our developer...
Well, why wouldn't it? It's not a big change, but yes, why wouldn't the developers?
Because then it doesn't actually do anything yet.
But remember, right now, the system asks for all the permissions you could possibly need at the beginning. So in order for you to do this, the developer has to declare the permissions as needed. Instead of...
Well, why would he not declare all the permissions that he might need? Android doesn't actually grant the permission until the first time it's used, in which case it will ask the user.
Well, if you also notice, they revamp what the permissions are. They actually simplified them down. So since they're different permissions. For example, I believe it's been simplified down to sensor, calendar, SMS, phone, contacts, microphone, camera, or location.
Okay, buddy.
We'll see what happens.
Yep.
Native fingerprint support. Are you excited that there's a native fingerprint API coming?
Sure, I guess. I don't know. I'm not sure. I know.
Oh, I'm against fingerprinting. You do know the government has a different level of care in regards to whether or not they can force you to provide your fingerprint versus your password?
Yes.
that word.
They can force you to provide your fingerprint. They cannot force you to provide your password.
So there we are. Brillo is an operating system for the Internet of Things with a separate set of communications tools called Weave. Do you like the Internet of Things, Jerry?
Not so much. I mean, I understand it's a necessity and it's going to happen, but that doesn't mean I like it.
Do you want your toaster to talk to you?
No.
Do you want your refrigerator to say you need more eggs?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe.
Oh, you can do that now. There's something called the Egg Binder. You can get it for $10. Mostly because it was completely unsuccessful and made no sense. It's a Wi-Fi enabled egg tray. Have you seen this?
No.
Quirky, the people who made Wink, which I've been suffering with. The Egg Binder is, $9. It's gone down even more. It's a $9 item that originally listed for $50. It syncs with your smartphone to tell you how many eggs you have at home and when they're going to go bad. Wirelessly connects to your mobile device to track the number of eggs you have. In-tray LED lights indicate the oldest egg, while push notifications alert you when you're running low. Check Eggminder at the store, and you will never be in a scramble for a good egg again.
But it only holds a dozen eggs.
14 eggs, actually. It holds more than... I just love the Amazon questions. Can this product be used in an incubator? I like to count my chickens before they hatch. Answer.
I have never understood this by the 18.
Yeah.
What do I do with the other four?
Was this product designed
before I'm out?
Yeah. Was this product designed to drive sufferers of OCD insane? Holds 14 eggs, yet eggs are sold by the dozen. It's obviously a plot by Big Ovum to get you to buy 7 dozen eggs at a time and keep them in your 6 egg minders.
That's funny.
Yes. Is this just for chicken eggs? Will it work with brown eggs? The image only shows white eggs.
What about turkey eggs? Or quail eggs?
Duck eggs.
Duck eggs come in all sizes.
Yeah. Not even...
Certainly would work with ostrich eggs.
I'm just reading the reviews. Not even worth $10. Glorified egg holder. Great product if you charge the batteries every 2 weeks or so. This product sucks horribly.
It sucks eggs. That's funny.
Buggy as hell. Everyone is cracking up when they see or hear I bought this device. I think for $9, I should buy the thing just for the amusement value of it.
I know, right?
Oh, what the heck. $9. Sold. Should I review it?
Sure.
Okay.
Does it work for iPhone or for Android as well, or is it iPhone only?
Well, as far as I know, it's compatible with my Wink Hub. That's the thing that turns my lights on sometimes.
I'm not saying it's compatible with Android.
Eggminder, Android and phone tablets. Yeah.
Okay.
We'll have fun with it.
It says item currently unavailable for $49.99.
I just paid $9.
Oh.
Why, you want a link?
Nope.
You're not going to buy an Eggminder of your own?
Nope. I have an Eggminder. I married her.
I'm not going there. Anyway, some non-Android news just to whet your palate here. Esperanto is making a comeback. Are you excited?
No.
You can get a Duolingo course in Esperanto now. And apparently the Esperanto Society of New York is moving online. So apparently Wikipedia now has 215,000 Esperanto articles.
Can you read Esperanto?
No, but I used to read Harry Harrison, and he used to write these books set in the future where everyone spoke Esperanto. And I learned from the article that next, Duolingo next year will have a Klingon course. I'm excited about that. I have to be prepared.
I don't know how I'd... You know, I'd like to learn Esperanto, but in order to actually learn a language, you kind of need to use it. And I just don't see this being useful. Well, anyway.
I think it's more fun.
Okay.
Anyway, moving along. Republicans apparently want to kill the FCC's plan to subsidize internet for the poor.
The FCC?
Yes.
Whatever.
The FCC, essentially, there is a program for subsidizing... telephone for the poor. They want to allow people to use that money for internet.
Okay.
Anyway, finally.
I mean, that actually seems like a more useful use of the money, in my opinion.
Yeah, but right? Apparently...
And if the FCC has the ability to regulate the internet like they do landlines, sure, why not?
Well, no, it's a subsidy program for low income families. Why should it not allow the internet?
Sure, I would argue that it should prioritize internet over landline. Internet being significantly more useful.
For some. Some people some people need access, quick access to 911. Which is the
subsidy. Well, you can do a landline over internet.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that a lot of this is the government's lifeline program, where the idea is that the elderly need a direct ability to call 911 and have their emergency medical devices connected to emergency services. So, I'm saying that was the original purpose of some of these programs. So they're just saying there may be alternate ways of doing this. Anyway, finally.
To me, it's more about, you know, if you don't have access to the internet right now, you are at a severe economic disadvantage.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. And there are other programs that are trying to get broadband into rural areas where it isn't currently.
Well, not all.
But income is different than I'm saying that's a different type of program that's trying to accomplish a similar goal, which is to cover the United States. You have two problems. One is economic disparity, which is the internet is here, but I can't afford it. The other one is the internet isn't here. So one is, if you remember back during the Depression, we had a lot of public works projects to electrify the country. So there were large swaths of the country that did not have electricity in. And the
you
government
will not be surprised if I say I do not remember that.
You weren't alive.
I believe you.
No, you weren't alive.
I was not alive. No.
I wasn't alive either in the 30s. Thank you very much.
Well, you said remember back when.
No,
I was around.
I'm saying, but you remember that this occurred. Not that you remember it personally. You are familiar with the fact that the country had a massive electrification program under the New Deal.
Okay.
Do you know?
No.
Okay. So are you aware that during the Depression, there were a lot of public works projects that were put into place to put people to work?
No.
Okay. We'll try again. You know there was a Great Depression.
30s.
Yes. So during the Depression, the federal government put in a lot of money, regardless of what you thought about it, which is a political question, to put people to work and give them jobs. So they did all sorts of things. People were hired to build public parks. There were other people hired to do other public works projects. There was a big one where you had, for example, the Tennessee Valley Authority, which essentially was designed to electrify various parts of the country that did not have electricity. So populated areas where they had not been able to invest in the infrastructure for electricity. So I'm saying that that's the sort of program that the government would like to go and do again, which is there are large swaths of the country where there is no connectivity. There are elements, not all of them, obviously, in the government that would like to invest into that infrastructure and say, it is not economically viable for these companies to build that infrastructure, but we need that for the good of the country.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Yeah. So it happened before, it happened now. Now, again, there are political elements who do not believe the government should be involved in building infrastructure. That's a whole different conversation. I think it's a good idea.
Okay.
And our final story of the evening, the United Nations says encryption is necessary for the exercise of the right to freedom.
Yeah. Duh.
Yeah. So a few bits of housekeeping, Jerry, as we wrap up for the evening.
What? You're not going to argue with me on that?
No.
But you're all pro-government and anti-privacy.
I am. Then why do I keep putting privacy stories into the feed?
Because you know I'm pro-privacy.
I thought we were both pro-privacy.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? You and I always seem to argue about it. And I know how I feel. And if we're arguing, that must mean that you feel opposite to me.
Not necessarily.
Which, you know, coincidentally means that you're wrong, but, you know, that's okay.
No, sometimes it's your interpretation I disagree with. We both agree that privacy is important, and we are both in favor of encryption as a right.
Unbreakable encryption.
Well, that's a whole other conversation. Whether or not law enforcement should be able to defeat encryption. Now, on one level, the technical necessity of having a backdoor for the government weakens the encryption, which endangers it. That's a purely engineering argument. The question is, on an ethical level, should the government have the right to decrypt things? And that's a different conversation than whether on a technical level they should.
I don't think so.
Well, you built
things. I mean, the answer to both is the same. No.
Okay. So basically, how will the government find criminals? Again, I'm not necessarily agreeing with this. I'm playing the opposite position as you and asking the logical question. Law enforcement has said, we deserve the right to be able to investigate people legally. Now, legally means warrants and other things in the United States. It may mean something different elsewhere. But in the United States, they've said, if we get a warrant, we should be able to invade people's privacy. That's what warrants are for. But if it is impossible to invade people's privacy, even with a warrant, what happens? Bad people get away with bad things. There have to be limits.
Or, you know, they could do like actual police work and, you know, investigations. Like,
yeah,
whatever.
Who does that nowadays?
I know, right? Yeah.
Anyway, I do have one final thing to say to you, Jerry.
What's that?
I brought up my English to Esperanto translator.
I catch you, buddy. I don't know. What did you say?
Good night, Jerry.
Good night.
And just
did we do housekeeping or did I? No, I don't think we did housekeeping.
Because yeah, I will do some housekeeping. Okay. You got that?
Nope.
I will see you in 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Yes.
So what you're saying is
there will be no episode on the 8th.
Oh, no episode next week. Okay.
Yes. I will be out of the country. I will hopefully return on the 15th for an episode. Now, if it turns out that I am exhausted due to jet lag and possible other problems,
sure.
I will notify you of this.
And we'll do it on the 16th.
One problem at a time.
Okay.
You will hear from me. I will be away.
Wowzers.
Why wowzers?
SanDisk just announced a 2 terabyte SSD that
has a USB. Runs at
850 megabytes a second.
Is this the one that also has the USB Type-C connector? Or am I thinking of something else that was announced today?
It's USB. No, it's... Yep, it's 3.1. Type A and C.
Yep. Thought I heard that. Wow. And I've already named the episode.
$1,000 for a 2 terabyte SSD. That's crazy.
The prices will come down. But I have already named the episode.
Yes.
Yes. The title of this week's episode?
Mm-hmm.
Android. I like it when these things come together.
So on a separate, on the whole privacy thought, yes. Any thoughts on the expiration of the Patriot Act?
You think it'll last?
The expiration?
What I'm saying is you don't think that the government will put something in?
Hmm.
I don't think the Patriot Act should have been signed in the first place.
Yeah, but...
Mostly because most of the people who signed it admitted that they didn't read the thing, which is particularly embarrassing for any government official. Although admittedly
right, but the thing was what, 7,000 pages long?
Then delay the vote.
Yeah, I know. Nobody reads that stuff. And if they do, they don't understand it. It's written in such weird language, which is a problem in its own right.
I understand it. I like reading the law. It's fun. It's like a puzzle that you have to unlock because they don't speak regular English by design. Anyway, that's a whole other conversation. So, Jerry, I hope you have a nice week off.
Me too.
And that you return to the podcast when I return, refreshed, relaxed, and happy.
Woo!
Yes. Woo. And is there anything you'd like to say before we sign off for 14 days?
We'll miss you. Bye. Don't forget about us.
You'll miss me or you'll miss them?
Our listeners.
And you won't miss me? I'm so hurt.
I'll miss you.
Okay, so you'll miss everyone.
Yes.
You will miss the entire environment of this podcast.
I will. I will miss you and all four of our listeners.
Okay. You want to name them individually since we have a little time?
I don't know them.
You know Murph. Murph listens.
I did. Yep.
Hi, Murph.
Hi, Murph.
Yeah. We know one. To all those other people who shall remain nameless, we appreciate and validate you by listening to this podcast every time that it is uploaded. You make a difference. Continue to make a difference. Why is it I suddenly feel like I'm about to start a pledge drive?
I don't know.
No, I'm just saying that's sort of the
tone. It does. It does.
Yeah. No, I'm saying that was sort of the tone of that.
It was.
Yes.
And it was also the words.
And just remember, at the $150 level, you get an Android buffet tote bag. I wonder if that would work. Tell you what, if anybody sends us
Android buffet tote bags,
tell you what, if anybody sends $150, I'll make a tote bag. And at the $500 level, you'll get an exclusive copy of Guru Sings the Public Domain. My as yet unreleased album. Worth a shot. You can also alternatively pay me $700 not to mail you a copy of Guru Sings the Public Domain. Yes. Your choice. Anyway, we will be back in 2 weeks.
Bye, folks.
Goodbye.